This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه ومن اجتبى. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وارحمهم كما ربونا صغارا. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, there is no God but Allah. And Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is his last and final messenger. May all the peace and the blessings be upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his followers, including us. Ameen. May Allah forgive us, may Allah forgive our parents, may Allah forgive our spouses and children, and may Allah forgive anyone who taught us something good. Ameen. Let's start with a few questions. Anyone has a question before we go to, inshallah, our subject today? Anyone has a question, please? Feel free. How many days left for Ramadan? Welcome, Sister Hanis. How many days left? 95 days. So Ramadan is very near. So start talking about Ramadan to yourselves, to your children, to your loved ones, so that when Ramadan comes, we don't start working on Ramadan, we start reaping the fruits. Our Quran Salih ulama used to say, Rajab is the month of tilting the land. Sha'ban is the month of watering the plants. And Ramadan is the month of reaping the fruits. Most of us forget ibadah until Ramadan. That's why sometimes it takes us a week or two to just start warming up. No. Rajab is very near. Then after that, Sha'ban. Then Ramadan. So we need to, inshallah, start talking about Ramadan, at least to our children and to ourselves. Tayyib. Any question, please? Anyone has question? Go ahead. Any question? You don't have any questions? You still have million questions to my Sheikh.
We have a lot, but now cannot think.
Yeah, when you see me, you forget. Like me. Okay. Today, inshallah, we will cover something very interesting when it comes to, let me just find the page, when it comes to Muslim family, since the Muslim family is where the problem is. If we fix the Muslim family, we may fix so much of our ummah. You know, the ummah, the Islamic ummah, is a group of societies. And those societies are made of families. And a family is made of individual. This individual will marry one day and become husband and wife, spouse. But do you realize that your children also give you something? When your children are born, you are born too. Do you realize that or not? Okay, listen to me here. A man and a woman get married, right? Can we call them parents? No. They are only husband and wife. But when Allah gives them children, their parenthood is born too. So when it's because of the child that Allah has given you that you became somebody else. You were a normal single individual. Then you became married, husband and wife. Then when Allah gives you children, you are born too. As what? As another person. Which is parent. Then you are born one more time. When Allah gives you grandchildren, you become grandfather and grandmother. You forget you are actually in birth. Then you die. Then you go back to Allah single. Even your chuchus cannot help you. So what to do? Should never, in every birth Allah gives you, you should never forget Allah. From the day Allah gave you birth and you are single, lost, you don't confused, don't even know where you are, then Allah guides you, looks after you, you become strong, you get married. That's your first, second birth. Now I'm no more individual. I am
wife.
Husband and wife. Good. Then after that,
mother.
I am father or mother. After that,
grandma.
So, and then you go back to وَيَأْتِينَا فَرْدًا. He returns to us single. You come single, you go back single. So may Allah have mercy on us. Make us realize this. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله ومصطفاه الأمين. اللهم اشرح صدورنا للإسلام واهدنا لاتباع سنة خير الأنام سيدنا محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام. الحمد لله. The issue of marriage, my sisters and brothers, it's a very serious issue and we need to talk about it. Not because you are married or not married. By the way, even if you are not married now, let's say you're divorced or widow or widower, this issue touches you. Your children one day get married, your grandkids. So you better have that knowledge to give it to them. So don't say, I'm not married, so it doesn't interest me. In the contrary. How about if Allah decides to give you a spouse? Then you say, oh, let's go back to those lectures. There is a knowledge you must have. Even if you don't, practice that knowledge. One day, I was teaching tayammum, fiqh. I was teaching the fiqh of dry ablution. And some brothers in America, they thought they don't need that knowledge. They admitted to me later on, when Hurricane Katrina, do you remember, 2005? Yeah. Hit Louisiana so bad. SubhanAllah. So bad. This was amazing. So, because they were stranded there. Although there is plenty of water, but you cannot use the water. Why? Because the water is contaminated. So they were on their ceilings, on top of the ceiling, waiting for rescue, for helicopters to come and rescue. He said, Sheikh, I remember all what you were saying. And I realized that how fool I was, because at that moment I thought of that fiqh of tayammum that you used to teach, and we thought, what is this? Look, you are surrounded by water, but you cannot touch. Because the water is infested. Bodies, human bodies. It's filthy. Sewer. Crocodiles. You go down to make wudu, crocodile. Yeah, good for you. Now what to do? Tayammum. So he realized, oh my God, I should have. I said, good for you. I said, good for you. Crocodile should eat you. Not just that. Because when Allah gives us a chance to learn and we think, oh, this is wa alaikum salam. We don't need this. You don't need this. So, this issue of marriage is very important since our series of lectures are called Islamic Family. And I admit that the Muslim family is not really strong. Why? Because the individual is not strong. Those who get married are not strong. The male and the female. They're not strong in what? Not in finance, not in physics. No. They're okay. In iman, in taqwa. So when they get married, most of us get married for what?
No.
Because it's the right thing to do. No. More than that. It's a ibadah. It's a worship. You need khushu' in marriage. You have to have khushu' with Allah Azza wa Jalla in marriage. So it's not just so that we have a family. More than that. Okay, if Allah decides not to give you family, children, then what? It's because it's the right thing to do, is to please Allah, is to help a person stay away from zina, it's to have children, is to raise good Muslim community, is to so many things. So, who has a question about this subject before I start? Maybe a question will trigger a better discussion about this issue I'm talking about. Did you realize that the majority of people, as parents, look what happens to them. This is a mistake. I mentioned this a couple of days ago to some sisters in the class of sisters. Is that the husband and the wife, when they get together, they forget that they have responsibility to Allah. She says, how can I please him? And the husband says, how can I please her? How can I be a good husband? And she says, no, wait a minute. The pleasing of husband and wife lies first in the pleasure of the one who gave you that husband and wife. Allah. So the first thing, our responsibility is to Allah first. Then to the spouse, then to the children, if they come. This is where we mess up. Because we forget him. And he's first. Many of us, in the marriage, they forget that they have right to Allah. For example, what pleases Allah first? For example, my wife is asking me to do something, but it's Dhuhr time. Most of you will run to your wives. Because hell will break loose later on. Takbir. No, you go please Allah first. Say Salat first. Salat dulu. Then do whatever she asks you to, groceries. For example. No. Your children. Their duty to Allah supersedes any duty to community, such as education. So I wake up my kids for Salat al-Fajr, and therefore they can go to school. But if I wake them only for school, Saturday and Sunday, no Salat. So they woke up for Salat actually because of school, not the other way. That's where we are wrong. That's why some of you sisters hate your parents-in-law. You cannot stand them. You want the husband, you want the wife. But you don't want the mother of that husband or the mother of that wife. But Sheikh, no, they do terrible things. I understand they do terrible things. I know that. But because sometimes to take a flower, you have to bear the poking of the thorns. What comes with the flower, sometimes it's thorn. What can you do? Because if we do the marriage for Allah's sake, those things will not kill us. The pain will not suck you. There will be problems, of course. But minor. They will not take all your attention and make you full of stress. I'm saying this because I know many of, especially the youth who are not yet married, they have to understand this. And maybe that's only your only Jannah, your in-laws. You were so sabar. And they were really nasty, some of them. But that's your Jannah, what can I do? If Allah shows you another trial, you say, okay, the in-laws. When He shows you, for example, amputation of a leg, cancer, you say, okay. I'd rather stay with my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, than serious. Because you can't. Or extreme poverty, or whatever. So, sabar, my dear sisters and brothers, and understand that marriage is not fun. Marriage is an institution and ibadah. And in ibadah, you have to have sabar. In order to pray Dhuhr on time, every day you need sabr. Fajr on time, sabr, a lot of patience. Ramadan, 30 days of fasting, ibadah. Hajj, sabr, someone push you, is being disrespectful. What can you do? You want to reply and be like him, go ahead. Lose your hajj. Zakat, not easy to give 2.5%, because sometimes the 2.5% is a lot. But you forget that it's a lot because Allah gave you so much. To give 2.5 million, it means you have 100 million. If your zakat is 2.5 million ringgit, it means you have 100 million, mashallah. You forget that. Yalla, I want one question before I go to the subject of family. And we start with al-nikah, the fiqh of nikah. Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فانكحوا ما طاب لكم من النساء مثنى وثلاث ورباع فإن خفتم أن لا تعدلوا فواحدة أو ما ملكت أيمانكم. In Surah 4, verse 3, Allah Azza wa Jal commands us to marry. So marriage is a command of Allah. But it depends on your situation. For example, if you are afraid of fitna and have the ability to start a family, marriage now is not optional, it's wajib. Again, what? Wajib. For example, a young man has a job, alhamdulillah, or he doesn't have a job, but his father can help him. And he's afraid to fall into fitna. He must marry. It becomes wajib. And the ulama said, in this case, since there is fear of fitna, let's say society, women, maybe you work in a place where there are so many women and all women are after you and this and that, in this case you must marry, and it precedes even Hajj, even before Hajj. Okay, is this clear? To some people it's haram to marry. Yes. Why? You know, you have you are extremely poor. You can't even feed yourself, let alone Sister Fatima, or whoever your wife might be. And you have a disease, and that disease is infectious. Then you cannot marry. You sabar here. Let's say you have AIDS, God forbid. You didn't commit zina, you got it from transfusion of blood. In this case, no. Because you're going to infect a sister and children. And you exacerbate the problem. Or you have a sexually deficiency. You know yourself. Certain men can't. So, better not. Not until sister asks divorce from you. It's called innin, in fact. Innin is a man who cannot perform sexually. So he better not at all. Because part of marriage is sexual intercourse. You don't take a woman just to look at her. Is this clear? Then there is mustahab, highly recommended. And then there is mubah. So the general rule is mubah. But Allah Azza wa Jalla said, fankihu, marry. Second, there is nothing good except that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. And did Rasulullah marry or not? Very. So you marry, like he did. So this is about the importance of marriage. Why I'm saying this, and why ulama should speak about this? Because today there are many men who don't want to marry. And don't try even. No. Every Muslim should try to marry, inshallah. Should try to get married. And the sooner the better. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal will reward you for that. Allah Azza wa Jal will reward you for being a married man or woman. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "La talqa Allah a'zaban." Don't meet Allah single. Don't meet Allah single. Try to remarry even when the marriage breaks or the death or whatever. طيب. This marriage that you are about to do, or you are in already, is it too late, Sheikh, to renew my intention if I marry for love? And I told you, never fall in love. Marry, but don't fall in love, because when you fall, you hurt. Jatu sakit. Yes. And I told you, the real love comes after marriage. The real love comes after marriage. So don't try to know someone before marriage. It's not going to happen. Whatever you're going to know, most 99% fake. Ask married people. They were dreaming. When they got married, they woke up to a nightmare. Oh my God. Back here. Wa alaikum salam. So I want my brothers and sisters to lower your expectations so that when you see the reality of marriage, of your partner who is husband or wife, alhamdulillah, you never thought you were married, let's say, to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq or Khadija radiallahu anha. He was a normal human being like you. To strengthen you and make you better. And this is why. When you marry someone, is that he or she reminds you of Salat, wakes you up for Salat, reminds you of Ramadan, prepares your sahur. Not just the woman prepares, even the man. You see what I mean? Do Umrah together, become your mahram, travel with you. This is why we marry. And then the children, Allah will give them. And I told you, when Allah gives you children, He gives you something as well. I give you parenthood. You are not father or mother because of that child. That child also gives you something. The son or daughter gives you something. What is it? You become father. Father, satu, dua, tiga, empat. So children also give their parents something during the birth of the child. Gives you a new status. You were husband and wife, you became father and mother. So this marriage, we need to be very careful what we marry for. Look, you may marry and get no reward. And you may marry and get reward. Which one you want? You get married and no pahala. Well, no pahala. Because you married for yourself. And you may marry and get reward. Pahala. You married for Allah's sake. And please, careful to marry rich people. You, not you. You, ladies. If you ask a woman, who is she wants money? Okay, I tell a woman. There was a young girl who her father told her, my daughter, you should marry someone rich or someone very famous or someone very handsome or who likes beauty. He likes beauty. She said, no, dad. I rather marry a poor person. He said, why? She said, a rich man has a lot of money, so he may. What? Before rich man. A man who loves beauty, today he looks at my beauty. Tomorrow, if he sees someone more beautiful than me, his criteria is beauty. He saw somebody more beautiful than your sister. What happens? Bye bye. You become second. He goes to that one because she's more beautiful than you. He saw status high, he will look down at you. Like sympathy to you. I brought you from no background. And if he has a lot of money, his money makes him think about another. Women will be after his money. Let's say he is not a man of women. But some women don't care. She wants to be second and third and fourth. And even concubine, no problem. Just give me money. This is true. If it's not in you, it's in other women. Just ask the datos. Everybody who's dato, ask them. Oh, God. Then, he asked her, why you want a poor person? She said that because when he's poor, he will be stuck to me. And very true. So, a happy woman is not the woman who looks for wealth. She looks for a person of her level. And when they grow up in wealth, he will never forget that she is part of him. I mean, she helped him be who he is. So I'm not saying don't marry rich women or rich men. I'm saying do not look for that. Do not look for that. Because when Allah takes that thing away from the marriage, then what do you? Sister, you will fight for divorce right away. Because you married him for that thing. So Rasulullah ﷺ warned us. He said, man should look for a woman. There are four reasons for a man to marry a woman. Four reasons. Her beauty, her wealth, her status, and her religion. There are no other reason. Think about it. Is there anything else? A man, when he wants to marry a woman, either he wants her beauty, she's beautiful, or he's after her money, he knows she's rich, or she is, you know, from big family in the land, or religion. Rasulullah said, take the one who is religious, you'll be safe. Your marriage will be safe, you'll be happy. For man is two things, not only one. Rasulullah said, don't look for a man just because he prays, or he's always in the masjid. That doesn't make him a good husband, necessarily. Look at how he deals with others. So akhlaq, meaning mu'amalat. So his religiosity, good. Must. Does he pray? Does he go to the masjid? Is he respectful? Is he fasting? Alhamdulillah. His deen is okay. But what else? His mu'amala. Look at him when he buys and sells. Look at him how he deals with his parents. Is his mother very important to him? Because any man who is not taking care of his mom will never take care of your sister. You are not the woman who gave him birth. So don't give your daughters to someone who is not good to his mother. Now, number one, no blessings at all. Allah will never bless that man. So these things help us to focus and narrow the good things so that we target them in marriage. Now, those who are already married, both husband and wife, attending classes like this, you will help them. Help them greatly. Because don't say, no, I have to remarry. Sorry, you're stuck. You're stuck. So you just fix your marriage. And that's it, and move on. So our youth, if we see them struggling, for example, I see my son struggling in his marriage. It means he's struggling in his ibadah. Really. And you can see this when one of the, either the husband or wife, become more religious. This happens a lot to sisters who, mashallah, return to Allah. When the husband doesn't, definitely it will break. But when there is effort from both, it will work. It will stay. Okay. So, this marriage, first the niyyah is to please Allah Azza wa Jal, is to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is to help another Muslim not to commit haram, meaning that's why you marry, to protect yourself from haram, to have a family, to raise them according to Islam, to bring two families together, to unite two families, your family and her family. So, one action, multiple niyyah, multiple intentions. So Allah will reward you so much. You did only one thing, you got married. But you had all this in mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you so much reward. Don't forget that. So, that's why before you get married, which something very good they do in Malaysia, in all masajid, they teach people, which is good. Maybe a weekend or 2 weekends. Minimum is fine. Very good. Something I really highly recommend. That people, before they go to the masjid, they study a little bit. Yeah. Cursus is called? It's good. You know, what are my rights? What are my duties as husband, as wife? What should I do? This and that. This is very good. I highly recommend that. And that should, is called pre-marital counseling. This marriage also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala performed it himself between Adam and Eve. Marriage is the second most important contract on earth. After iman, iman is faith. Belief. Faith in Allah is the first contract. Iman. Second contract is marriage. And it's the only way a male and a female can come together. There is no other way. Haram. Boyfriend and girlfriend. Haram. So how? A male and female are haram to each other. They become halal. through this institution. And this institution has its laws. Number one, a good man doesn't talk to the woman. He goes straight to her father or mother. Sister, if your future husband doesn't talk to you and goes straight to your father and mother, he's a very, very good person. Why? He's a very good person. Why he's a very good person? But Sheikh, if he speaks to me, I'm not going to eat him. It's okay. No. This man respected you so much and respected your parents. You are the daughter of someone. So he asked about you and went. So no, why he didn't tell me? He surprised me. Well, it's a good surprise. When he surprised you with the ring, you're happy. When he surprised you by talking to your father first, so a good boy will not talk to the girl first. He will go to her father. And not even to her mother. If she has a father, he goes to the father. She's the daughter of someone. And then talk to him with his family, if he has family, with his family. If not, he takes few friends. But youth, don't take only youngsters. Always take somebody old who knows you, wise. Especially in this culture. In the Malays, they don't want kids to come talk to them about the marriage. They want someone. Because they feel comfortable. So, yes, uncle, this and that. Let the person talk on your behalf. And alhamdulillah, if they accept and move to the second step, which is, let him come, we see the family and this. And you lady, don't be surprised. Be thankful to Allah that there is someone interested in you. What do you think you are? The beauty and the beast? No, you want to know someone. You want to play that drama. No. Adam, alayhi salam, was wondering. Allah created for him, from him, a woman. And he said, you know, you see that woman? He said, yeah. He said, she's yours. He didn't say, no, let me know her first. Let's date under a tree of paradise. See. And she say, no, I would like to know him first. Yalla, habis, habis. You know each other after. When you work with people, do you know them first? I cannot work with him until I know him. So you date every colleague at work. Here. Yalla, stuck, halas, man. Start working. But with time, you start knowing who is who. The Quran didn't tell you just parachute on someone. He didn't say that. The Quran said, if you want to know someone, there is a way. What is it? I call it halal dating. What is it? Number one, parents know. Second, in front of us, there. We are sitting here, you are there. In our knowledge, the boy and the girl, who are already the boy interested, or the girl, and then they're talking to each other. To know, a little bit. Of what? Not, I really like you. No. What's your concept of marriage? Concept of marriage. It is a philosophical question. Takbir, my brother also asked, calling from France. You wait too. In class. I'm really bad. Huh? What do you think a Muslim family is? Really? Why did you choose me? Never say to a woman your beauty. A wise woman will hate you for that. But they, so why you taught me beauty for? Thank you very much. Meaning, if you like, if I was a woman and someone tells me I like you for your beauty, I will not like him. Why? Because there's always somebody more beautiful than me. I think totally different than you, I know that. Takmir. Serious. I saw that, mashallah, you are a good sister. I saw you going to the masjid. And I always ask Allah to give things like this. Fine. what do you like in this dunya? What type of sport? It's okay. You know, that's all. Later on, when you marry, tell her how much you love her or how much you hate her. No problem. That may. No, I feel, why are you laughing? That may. You call, covering yourself. Goddamn. And I was thinking to take you to Palestine for jihad. You already covered. That may. Okay, cover yourself. It's okay. Cover yourself. You look like dead people. Kafan. Cover yourself. You too. Ready? Yalla, ihram, ihram. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. So, this is how. And then, alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal will make some kind of attraction. Halal attraction. Then they move to the nawam. If they accept, if the girl says, alhamdulillah, I like this boy. And he says, I like her. And sunnah is to eat something together. They eat something. While the parents are sitting there, the boy and the girl may eat something together. Why? SubhanAllah, the hikmah. He might not like the way she eats. She might not like the way he eats. He makes so much noise. She can't live with a man who... You know, serious. There is hikmah. And you know, SubhanAllah, when a man wants to marry a woman, he can see her hair. She can remove. Only to him. If his brother is coming, no. Let's say his brother is coming with him. No. Yes. Why? There should be an attraction. Maybe he doesn't like her hair. Maybe she doesn't have hair at all. Yeah. That's sunnah of Rasulullah. Many of us don't know this. It's haram for a woman to reveal her hair except when someone wants to marry her. She can uncover part of her hair. That's all. Now, if the marriage happens, alhamdulillah. If it doesn't happen, the man has no right to say how does her hair look. Let's say she has beautiful hair or not beautiful hair at all. He cannot talk to his friends. Huh? Is this clear?
Yes.
Alright, very good. This is sunnah of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. We need to revive. That's why these things must happen indoor, not outdoor, in the family. And who should come? The family of the boy should go to the family of the girl, not the other way. You should never accept that your daughter takes you to see her future husband. No. When they marry and finish everything, visit each other, no problem. But the sunnah is that the man goes to the woman and ask her hand and give her something. We will talk about the conditions of marriage. So this is the sunnah of Rasulullah in marriage. And all the sahaba married like this. All the sahaba after Rasulullah taught them, they did this. And it was so simple. And I warn you, my sisters and brothers, about making it too long between fiancé and marriage. Don't make it long. No more than 2-3 months. 3 months is already too much. You know how many people called off their marriage? Because they knew everything. There was nothing left to know about you. I already knew how you think, how you get upset when you get happy. Halas, there is nothing left to know. I just heard 5 years. 5 years together. Right before the marriage, call it off. What is this? Haram, haram. That is haram. So, when a man, for example, ask the hand of a sister, 2-3 months later they have to marry. That's it. So parents make it easy for your kids to protect them, and so that also they don't, shaitan doesn't play with them, even when they are engaged. Halas. You marry, you go. Now they become, alhamdulillah, sons and daughters. Oh, they come visit you, you go visit them, alhamdulillah, they are married. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wassalam. It was also his sunnah to make the dowry very low. Do not ask too much. Your children are priceless, my brothers and sisters. But let's say you have a daughter. What do you think if you make it difficult on your future son-in-law? And let's say he can afford. Is that the value of your daughter, my brother? That's all she is. 100,000, 200,000, 1 million, billion? That's all she is. And this is psychologically what will break the marriage. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, أكثرهن أيسرهن بركة sorry استغفر الله أيسرهن مهرا أكثرهن بركة. The women who ask less dowry will have the more blessed marriage. The most blessed marriage is when the people make it easy for the young man who is coming to marry, but you don't ask too much. But if Allah gives you, be generous to your wife. Later on, let's say you are a student now. Later on, mashallah, you start working. Then be generous with your wife. And if Allah has given you, no problem. Let's say her father asked for 1,000 ringgit. And you have, give 5. It's okay. Because it comes from you. It's not a tax that they ask you to do. And one thing, sisters, I warn you. I counseled many, many people in my life. One of the most abuses men do to women is because of the dowry. Because the man feels he bought you. Your father showed him no mercy when you have to give this or otherwise. So he feels compelled. So he felt like he bought you. Not he was like you did him a favor. That's why in Southeast Asia, I am really amazed at, mashallah, may Allah reward you, sisters and brothers, for not asking too much. And like some Muslim countries where the dowry is like, you go to the moon and come back, it's cheaper than back me here. They turn off people. That's why there are many sisters down in UAE not marrying. Rich cannot marry. Because the parents say, and the culture, you know, the pressure of culture is like, you are too cheap to be married for this. So there is someone now, many women without marriage, getting old, 30s, 40s, 50s, not married, never been married. Money they have. And it's not their problem, it's the problem of their family. Father says, I will disown you if you ask only. So this is Jahiliyyah. We need to fight it. We need to fight it.
Yes.
The most beloved human being to Rasulullah was his daughter Fatima. May Allah be pleased with her. Do you know how much he asked? Marrying her to Ali radiallahu anhu. He asked Ali, what do you have? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a pot, an iron ring, a ring of iron, not even silver, and skin of a goat. He said, give it to her. Take her. Sisters, pot. Not thermomix. Pot, you know, pot. Cooking pot. And a skin of sajada, what we call sajada today. And a ring of iron to put as a sign she's married. That's it. This is the most beloved woman to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his own daughter. He gave her for that. That's it. He knows she will be happy with this man. He's a real man. He knows who's Ali. He raised him. He knows this boy doesn't have money, but he has all the love Fatima needs. He's a man. He will stand up for it, defend her, everything. Sometimes we sign the signature of our daughter's unhappiness. Okay, my daughter, I want you to be unhappy all your life. Go to this idiot. He has money, but he has no. Doesn't even know what is today. You ask him what is today, he says, huh? I think it's Monday. Monday. Because he's living in I don't know where. Games. He's always with games. Stuff in some parts of Algeria, just to tell you, if you don't know how to slaughter and skin off a sheep, you can never marry. First test. You go to see your father-in-law, future father-in-law, and ask him, uncle, that would be, he said, okay, slaughter sheep. Meaning you cannot even feed my daughter and make her survive. You want to marry her. How many of you hear this? Someone coming to ask you the hand of your daughter or sister or whoever, and then you hear someone asking him, okay, when is Salat al-Fajr? Salat al-Fajr. Automatically you will say, 6:10. Adhan, 6:10. In which masjid you pray? I don't ask you about, do you pray or not? You pray not. Wajib. You don't pray, I don't even talk to you. In which masjid does the imam know you? You may pray and get your shoes out. And the father-in-law is writing. So you should have what? Questions and answers. Questions. Fail. You don't even know at what time Salat al-Fajr is. You want me to give you my daughter? Things like this. You same thing, sisters. Ask him, when is Salat al-Fajr? What type of question? In which masjid you pray? Very important questions. That's it. These are what we should be asking in any interview of boy getting married or something. Same thing for the sister. Maybe she's wearing hijab, just cultural. Culturally, she wears hijab. She doesn't believe in it. Why do you wear sister this hijab? Oh, because Allah commanded us in the Quran. That's the right answer. Alhamdulillah. This sister knows it. Oh no, because it's Nilofar. I like it, Nilofar. And then the other one is what? Koshko?
Kashka.
What is Koshko?
Kashka.
Kashka. I never heard of it today. Today I heard of it. So serious. Some Malays, they wear hijab not because it's a religious conviction, it's culture. I'm a Malay, so I wear it. No. You have to wear it. You know why you wear this. Because Allah commanded you to cover everything except your face and hands when you go out of the house. Out of the house, you cover everything except face and hands. Inside your house, wear as you feel comfortable. Simple as this. And Allah will ask you, my brothers, about your wives and daughters. He will ask you. One of the questions Allah will ask man after in the grave. Did you tell your wife to wear hijab or not? Your daughters. Allah will ask you. Because you can get so mad at them for something else. For makan, for school, but for obeying Allah's command. And sisters, whatever you show from your body will be touched by fire. I swear to Allah. Hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anything a woman shows outside her face will be touched by fire. Jahannam. Let's say a woman shows her hands. Her hair. And I told you, this is not a joke. Hijab is not a joke. Let people say whatever they want. Don't get confused. You see in Surah Al-Ahzab and Surah Al-Nur, you will understand. Surah Al-Ahzab 33 and Surah Al-Nur. It's not a joke. And not only Muslim women are commanded to the Sayyida Maryam al-Batul alayhi salam, the mother of Jesus, peace be upon her. How does she look in any church? Covered, hijab. Why? Because it was the right dress of any woman. Christian, pious Christian women, they cover. Jewish, pious women, Orthodox, they also cover. So it's not any woman throughout all the time. Adam and Eve, alayhim as-salam, how did Allah show them that He is angry with them when they ate from the tree? What happened to them? Their clothes fell. It means I'm angry. So it's a form of anger of Allah if a woman is not covered. And the more she reveals, the more angry Allah is at her. That's the proof. Why it wasn't another sign? Why not an angel say, hey, Allah is angry at you, you ate from the tree. His cloth dropped, her cloth dropped off. What happened? Oh, we sinned. That was the code between Allah and them. So women who do not dress properly, they are actually incurring the anger of Allah, my sisters. Careful. Wear hijab and be good. And you will wear it anyways. It's white hijab, it's called kafan. But it doesn't count. You will enter your grave with it. Remember? Why we cover even men and women, subhanAllah? Think about it. You're dead. Why just we don't bury you like that? You're naked. Why waste clothes? Even in death, you cover. Because you're going back to Allah. But Allah wants you to see your covering in dunya. Before you come, that's you were forced to be covered. SubhanAllah. So, this marriage, my dear sisters and brothers, is a big ni'mah that no one should say no. And ask Allah for the best. And don't stop. Don't think, I think I will never get married. Never say never. Never say never. Sauda binti Zum'a, may Allah be pleased with her. She was in her 60s when she got married with Rasulullah. She was older than him. She was the best friend of Khadijah. Umm Salama, Safiya, Allah may give you, don't worry. Just keep making dua to Allah and make me fear Allah. Fear Allah. And good news, any sister who doesn't get married in this dunya, Rasulullah said, she will be married in Akhirah to either a prophet or one of the most heroes of Islam. Imagine, sister. But you feared Allah. You never tried, you know, to play games. Khalas. You wait, you make dua. And you brothers, don't look for I don't know who. Lower your expectations. Lower your expectations. That's my nasiha to myself and to all of you, inshallah. Okay. Any questions so far? Now, when a man marries a woman, please understand, you are not just marrying that person, he or she, you are marrying the family. And that your spouse, when he or she married you, that doesn't mean they have no relationship anymore with their families. When you marry someone, doesn't mean you cut him off from his or her family. So, sunnah of silatul rahim. If her mother is sick, she doesn't have to tell you, please, let me go stay with my mother. You should be smart enough, say, please, stay with your mom. So that she does not feel like she's neglecting. This is sunnah for Rasulullah, and vice versa. When your mother-in-law is sick, sister, don't wait until your husband says, let's go. And she is never your... She is never your competitor. She loved him before. He's her son. And when the father of your wife wants her to stay with him, don't feel jealous. That's her father who raised her and made her your wife. You'll be angry or jealous if you find your wife talking to another man who is not her brother or something. Why? Which is musiba now. Big musiba. One reason for divorce is that the man finds his... By the way, sister, why you have to train with a man? Explain that to me. Why your trainer is a man? Why you train in the first place? You're going to die anyway. Why you train? You go training. Oh, you want to keep beautiful. You want not to lose some weight. Stop eating rice, you lose weight. She goes train and with a man. That's already fitna. Haram. One sister was telling me that. I said, well, that's the problem already. Even if your husband doesn't see you, that is haram already. Wrong. If you have to train, I don't know why you train, because you're going to liberate Palestine or whatever. Then in that place, look for a female trainer. For example, let's say, mashallah, your special bodyguard woman, you need to train. Another woman trains. Why men? And you too. When you train, why you train with women? And then you start saying, oh, she talks to me very nice. My wife always yell at me. Take me here. Now shaitan. Serious. Training. I'm shocked that sister training. They're going to the Olympics or I don't know. Astaghfirullah. What's wrong with people? I'm not against her. Walk, sister. Walk. Wear your hijab and walk. Sweat, no problem. But don't. Or in your house, you have a treadmill and work there. No, it's not family. It's boring. Because no men look at you. When a man look at you, you stop running. You come back. No motivation. Astaghfirullah. Any woman who goes out of her house, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and creates fitna, the curse of Allah will fall on her. Rasulullah said that, not me. Any woman who goes out of her house and she creates some kind of fitna to men, men start looking at her body or her. How about when she starts jogging and stretching and I don't know what, carrying 10 kilos? And in the house, she can't even carry 1 kilo of rice. The children are dying. Like there. I'm coming to you, wait. Our brother can take 200 kilos. Mashallah. 2-3 hours in the gym. He's covered. He cannot push this. It's not even 500 yards. But 200 kilos, motivation. So you are weak. So why are you pumping your muscles if you cannot even push your cover for Salat al-Fajr? La ilaha illallah. You got it? Yeah, you carry 10, 20 kilos when it comes to just 500 grams of rice to cook for. No, cannot. This is the problem of the Ummah.
Yeah.
We are not serious with Allah Azza wa Jal, even that's in marriage. Nice, yeah. And we think marriage is just, you know, sexual intercourse and that's it. No. Marriage is rahmah.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is a responsibility. Marriage is kindness. If you cannot even smile in the face of your wife, what do you think you are? It's not going to happen. So Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said, there are four conditions for marriage. If one of them is missing, the marriage is null and void. Number one, ijab and qabul. There should be proposal and acceptance. And usually it's the man who should propose. Sister, wait for someone to propose to you. You're not that cheap. You're not cheap. He proposes. By coming to your family and asking the hand from the hand. That's the present, not to you. And even if he comes to you, say, I have a father, or I have an uncle, or I have wali, I have a brother, I have. Please see my family first. Number two, there should be a wali. No woman marries without wali. Wali is a form of spokesman, protector, guardian, that's all. Sister, even if you are 60 years old, you should have a wali. And by the way, your son can be your wali. Let's say you are a widow or divorcee, and your son is alive. He should represent you. No problem. As he should bury you. You know, son should bury his mother. Husband and son go down with the, in the grave, bury the mother and wife. That's the sunnah of Rasulullah says. And that's one cannot. It's too emotional. It's okay, tell him, come back. But the sunnah is that. So if a woman, let's say, she's divorcee or she is a widow, her son, if he is alive and mature enough, represent her. But why the wali? Why the woman cannot marry herself, even if she is prime minister? Look, she's prime minister, but someone wants to marry her, she has to have wali. Is the law? No, shit, it doesn't make, it makes sense. You are not prime minister of your husband, by the way, that bear. Let's say you are prime minister and your husband is married. You cannot rule over him at home. He rules over you. You take revenge from him in public life. But private life, the last word is his. Which is difficult to do. Because we mix between the... So, a woman should be represented. Why? Allah knows us better than we know ourselves. When a man talks to a man, is not like a man talking to a woman. When he's talking to a man, he has more respect to that female than if he talks to her directly. Because simply he is biased, he wants her. But here there is her son, or her father, or her sheikh, or someone representing. Then, tomorrow, if there is misunderstanding, you go back to the wali. You already have a problem with her. How can you talk to her? Then you go to the wali. Three, there should be dowry. A man gives dowry to the woman. And this has nothing to do with exchanging gifts. And by the way, it's not wajib, gifts are not wajib. Don't confuse hantaran with
maskawin.
Do not. Dowry is what the man has to give to his wife as a symbol of what? Of financial responsibility. I will look after you, sister, all my life until I die. That's what it means. It's a prototype. That's why even if it's a ring of iron, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give her, one sahabi was about to marry another sahabiya, he said, give her even a ring of iron. Give her something. There must be something. To show that I will look after you financially, I will look after your sister and give you your, you know, financially, I am responsible for you. It's not the other way. Now, if they want to exchange certain gifts, actually it should be between them. What is a gift when I give it to you in front of everybody? I expose you. I may embarrass you with that gift. See what I mean? So you, the Malays, I attended many weddings, you put 6-7 and she has to put 6-7 and everybody has... That's a form of show-off.
Yeah.
You shouldn't do that. But the dowry should be known. Especially to who? To the two, which is number four. Two Muslim witnesses. Two Muslim males witnesses. These witnesses, you bring them from the masjid, not from the bar. You go to the masjid, you find two good Muslims who are regularly say, please come witness my marriage. Don't bring anyone who calls himself a Muslim from anywhere. No.
If it's a family, uncle.
Yeah, but what type of uncle? Abu Jahl was uncle. Abu Lahab was uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hamza, yes. Al-Abbas, yes. But not Abu Talib. Even when Abu Talib was good, but he's kafir. So, what type of uncle? Hey, there are secular uncles. Careful. They're Muslim only by culture. The mind, completely, no, sorry. You're my uncle, and I like you as my uncle. But I will call another uncle, who is very biased, always in the masjid, for example. No problem. Family members can. And preferably young. Why? Don't bring the oldest about to die witness and die. Need you again. Bring someone in his 20s, still young, sharp. Do you know where are we going? Yes. We are going to marry our sister, so and so. Okay, very good. Very good. Don't die, okay? Witness. 20, 30 more years. Don't bring me the oldest about to die and say no. Because he has to sign. So tomorrow when there is a dispute, who to call? Go to the mashallah. Go bore and say, Uncle, they're still alive. Alhamdulillah, help me. Yes, yes, sister.
So
it's open, open.
When can we use Wali Hakim?
Very good. Wali Hakim, when there is a big problem between husband and wife and they cannot talk to each other. We bring Wali Hakim from him, Wali Hakim from her. That is the fourth and the last step of fighting. Well, I'm coming to that. Wait. I'm coming to that. Don't worry. Just remember Wali Hakim. Yes? Which car? What's that?
I'm coming.
Yes, coming. Come. Most welcome. Someone is parking? No, it's okay. It's okay. See?
I said half an hour. I have to attend the grammar class. Our car is empty. I was rushing. I'm so sorry.
It's
Sheikh.
Okay.
I was rushing to be. Please allow
so
me.
So maybe someone, is someone coming? Someone coming
nobody
to
coming.
The place?
There's so many.
VIP park.
VIP. Okay. Sabar, sabar, my brothers and sisters. But I don't blame these guys. These guys, they are doing their job. I will never get upset with these guys. Honestly.
Yes.
Even when they don't, they know it doesn't make sense, but they are paid for that. Sabar, sabar, sabar. Sabar, inshallah. Allah gives you Jannatul Firdaus. But please never block exit or entrance. What are the four conditions of marriage? If one of them is missing, the marriage is null and void. Number one?
Ijab
al-taqwa. Proposal and acceptance. Good. Number two?
Wali.
Wali, guardian, representative of the female. Number three?
Dowry.
Who gives the dowry?
The man.
Do you know in India it's the woman who gives? And the higher you are in education, the more money you get. So I think all men should go to India. Takbir. Number one, she has to be right. You do hijrah to India.
Huh?
What is that, Maryam?
She just said that all the Middle Eastern women are not married because the father has so much.
Yeah. Not all, but big number. Yes. Because jahiliyyah, jahil. If they practice Islam, they wouldn't do that.
But then the Indians give a lot of money.
Yes, but they don't give. But there is another thing: Indian cannot marry Arab. You see another problem. Father will not allow. Yes, jahil. But we are not saying that is the right thing. We are saying the problem is deeper than what you think. That's why we need to follow Islam and not the culture, because the culture is not necessarily Islamic. Where is it in Islam that you have to put rice on the hand of your... You throw rice. Rice, Allah give it to you to put in the paddy field. Not on the poor husband and wife. Air Zamzam is to drink, not to put on a...
I know.
Yes. Serious. Air Zamzam, as if they are going to be husband Zamzam. Zam satu, zam dua. What is this? What is this jahil? Allah gives you zam zam so that you drink. I give the boy and the girl zam zam to drink, but not on their hands to bless it. Like also kubur. You make flowers. And you put zam zam. Zam zam is to be drunk, not to put on the kubur. If that person didn't do well, put all the water on Zamzam, he will burn in hell, in the grave.
So the
Ayah Yasin, there is nothing called Ayah Yasin. Thank you. There is nothing called Ayah Yasin, water of Yasin. There is Surat Yasin. Read it and try to understand the meaning and practice. Ayah Yasin, coffee Yasin, tea Yasin. So if I put water and coffee, and I read both of them become. So I say, coffee, yes.
True.
Thank you. Yeah, I know those things. Yes, yeah, sister. Yeah. Right. A lot in Malaysia, in Indonesia, in Aceh. Lot of them. Why? Because we got away from Quran and Hadith. Awesome. What are we doing Sunday? Studying what? Quran and Hadith. Why? Because we lack it in our real life. Imagine our children when we send them early, especially the first hour. 7:30 to 8:30, Adama, Islam, Quran, Hadith. Oh, they come home very... Then, science, English, Malay, Bahasa Melayu, Arabic, physics, chemistry, for example. Mm-hmm. Then they, mashallah, but started with Quran, with Hadith, fresh mind. Mm-hmm. They just had breakfast. No. Agama, last hour when they are tired. Ustaz, he himself is sleeping.
It's true.
Right, Sister Hanis or not? Like me. Same in the Islamic first hour for math. Okay, no problem. We have no problem. Say, last hour Islamic studies. When a child is out of his energy, he's just looking at his watch to go home. He's tired. So you see how we have Islamic Akama in class. Yeah. Our children poor. Before I answer that question, go ahead.
Yeah, no, here Wali Hakim is when the nikah time.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wali Hakim is before?
Nikah.
The nikah?
Yeah.
Okay, alright. Maybe in your culture, but alright. Let me talk about that person. Wali must be Hakim. Must be wise man. That's why we call him Wali Hakim. Wali Hakim. Meaning the Wali cannot be the craziest person in the family. Or tempered, he will call off the marriage just because, you know. No, he should be wise, waiting, and he knows what to say to the boy, helping the boy. Boy is trembling, shivering, like we have seen on YouTube. He repeated something else, I don't know what. You saw, no, he should take it easy. Okay, the part, the condition of the... When Algeria calls me, I panic. You know why?
Yes, somebody.
Yes. But maybe they want to just say something. No, twice they called me for my mother. They don't call. When they call, they're one for mother, one for father. So. No. If I answer, I won't teach you. It's okay. Well, I imagine it's not with me, it's somewhere else. So. That's why sometimes I don't want phone to be near me. Dear. And when I don't reply to you, sisters, it means I am teaching. You have to understand this, and brothers. When you call and I don't answer, it means I'm busy. You think I'm like you, my phone always in my hand? Like me here? Sleeping with it? So, the condition of the Hakim, the Wali, is to be wise. Number one, mu'min, fear Allah. And he has to be wise because he needs to know what to say to the boy. We are giving you our daughter. I hope you treat her like a princess. If you treat her well, Allah will look after you and her. Things like this. So the man is like, mashallah. There is the other one, which is called Hakim, is when there is a problem between husband and wife, and they really cannot talk. So they try three steps of solving the problem, which I'm going to come in, inshallah, to say. Number one, he advises her. If she is wrong, if the problem is from the woman, sometimes something wrong happened to women. I don't know what, but you know, right? That they are the married one. Something wrong. Hormone kicking, I don't know what. So the nushuz is from the woman. When the woman makes problems, the husband should advise her first. Remind her of Allah. Make her remember. That's why it's so easy to make. When you marry a religious woman, there is common thing that you remind her. She has no background. How can you even remind her? Teach her from scratch? No. So, a woman is saying, Sana, please remember, Allah loves those who obey Him. There is paradise, there is jannah. So, she understands. Imagine you keep just... doesn't even know what is paradise in heaven. Second, if after a few days of reminding she still is disobedient and she's creating troubles, then you do not sleep near her. You stay away from her in bed. In bed, but not outside the house. You don't go, for example, to your mother's house. Most men do that. Once they clash with their wives, he goes to his mom's house. No, you stay in your house. But don't sleep near her in the same room. Go to another room. If this doesn't turn her down from her rebellion, then spank her. With what? Where is my siwak? I brought it with me. I left it in the car. Okay. Siwak? SubhanAllah. It was in my hand. Maybe just when I left, I brought it. No more than this. On her hand and ties. Just to tell her, listen. This is going to tell her I'm really upset and we are in step three. But never to the face. Haram to leave a bruise or shake her while she's pregnant. Haram, haram, haram. I'm telling you, brothers, there are some violent brothers. Haram to touch a woman. Keep her, this and that. A'udhu billah. So this is a reminder that, listen, sister, I'm about to end the relationship. After this, we call a wise man from her family and wise man from his family. Because her own husband tried three things with her. It didn't work. And this is dignification, a dignity for a woman. For a woman, okay, sister, since you are not listening, we're going to give you chance number four. Meaning, we try to solve the problem from outside the circle, vicious circle. So we go to her, let's say father. Or someone who is wise, cool-headed, and we call from the same. Same from the family, from the boy's side, talk. So, what's the problem? Our son is saying this is what she's doing. Then she says, her representative, our daughter, these are her, you know, legitimate, whatever. And then they will find out solution. If after this doesn't work, then they just proceed to divorce. That's all. This is Islam. We are not like Catholics lying, like divorce is prohibited in our religion. You know, divorce for the Catholics is something bad if you know. In Islam, when it becomes impossible for a man and woman to live together, they better end the relationship. They better end the relationship. And it's haram to speak bad about the other person. Most people, when they divorce, each one will try to speak bad about the other one. No. Because he's still your brother in Islam, she is your sister in Islam. So, speak nice or say nothing. Don't try to say, you know why I divorced? Because she never prayed Qiyamulayl. Qiyamulayl is Sunnah. Like you. So you are Sunnah. Like me. MashaAllah. As if he was in the Palestine. No. So please, sisters, if you ever divorce, God forbid, brothers too, don't say nothing about that person. Because he or she is still your brother in Islam, sister in Islam. Don't say something bad. So the wali must be wise. And no sister, under no circumstance, should accept a marriage without wali. Alhamdulillah, this is very clear in Malaysia. Even a revert sister who wants to marry a Muslim brother, like it happened to me a lot in Malaysia, in America, I always ask one of the brothers to be her wali, or I be her wali, before she marries another person. So that person always, oh my God, wali she has to marry. Wali is brother so and so. Meaning, and we tell her, sister, these are your rights, these are your duties. And alhamdulillah, she goes and gets them. And some of them left good life, wealth, left and chose Islam. Yes. So, must put them in the right, subhanAllah, with the right people.
During the marriage ceremony, you have the whichever couple. So, when the father proposes that, you know, we have this lafaz.
Yes.
And the groom has to say it. So perfectly. He's a nervous guy.
Yes.
So he never gets married.
Then he tells him, instead of he saying, I would like to marry your daughter, he says, I would like to marry you. He's so nervous, even late. No! It should not have been, it shouldn't. It's like this. Look, subhanAllah, I say, repeat after me. In Arabic, and I make it word by word. Zawijni, zawijni, ibnataka, ibnataka, your daughter. Ala, ala, kitabi, kitabi, lahi, lahi, upon the book of Allah. Wa'ala, wa'ala, sunnati, sunnati, rasulillah. Then the brother is shivering. And then I said, man, while we are performing, they didn't tell me you know Arabic. Oh, you feel good. I said, yeah, you did very well. He's relaxed now. He's an American kid who became Muslim. He's getting married. Mm-hmm. See what I mean? Make it easy on him. Then I say, what you said is, allow me to marry your daughter, upon the book of Allah, upon the book of Allah, and the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the father say, Qabiltu, I accept. That's it. Yalla, makan, binu, bye bye, take it. That's it. You have to blah, 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 blah. Where are we going? This is how easy the Prophet used to marry. زوجني ابنتك على كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قبلت. That's it. What do you do here? Yes.
We have to, how many thousands or whatever it is.
When it's real, they don't say it. If it's millions, they don't say it. They just mention 370 ringgit in Darul Ihsan. Senango Darul Ihsan. How about the 10 million? That's only the death. Don't make it. Very good, sister. Do not make it difficult on people.
Yes.
That's not the deen. The deen is so easy. Maybe in Malay, I said to him, sir, please, word by word. Saya, saya, mahu, mahu. Easy. Saya mahu kawan orang yang already. That's not his language.
Long.
Yeah, no. It's okay. To make the parents feel good and this and that. Lafaz. You are Malays. Lafaz.
One breath.
Already confused. That day, I never forget this here in this masjid. This man, Allahu Akbar. We were praying and this man came near to me. I don't know why. Allah wanted me to. Yes. He's. I said, Sila, check up, started. Yeah. He was playing Sila, he was not praying. And he was like, when I said, Alhamdulillah, khalas, he's Allah. Then he nullifies them. He's still like warming, bringing me. You were about to do ruku'ah, he's still, yeah? It's too much, sisters. You stand before them. Now, what is the next salah? Thank you. When we stand there, are we going to pray Taraweeh? Maybe Taraweeh. No, it's asa. Allahu Akbar, straight, khalas. Make it easy on you and on us, please. And he came near me. And I know I was going to just tell him, brother, pray Allahu Akbar. It's too much. Maybe alone you're trying, but when people are paying, please. Another thing. Oh my God, here in Malaysia. How ugly is that? Yeah, it's horrible. But I think it's okay for you.
No.
Sorry. I saw. And they push it. It's not like it came out. You understand? Sheikh Zubair is not praying at that time. I really like to slap. This guy. Is it in your culture okay to do the
no?
Because why men do it? And they do it like a nerve.
Because the foot has a lot of onion in it.
Ramadan? Yes, yes, sister, go ahead. No, no, you go ahead.
Okay.
That chair.
This when we have finished Imam, and after the Imam has read Fatiha, it's our turn to read. Sometimes in the Jum'ah, we read very loud.
Yes, correct. Don't read loud. Even the Imam in Dhuhr and Asr sometimes reads loud. Here, especially if there's a little tapot. Sometimes I say, I hope that Imam doesn't read Asr in Dhuhr and Asr. I say it. Maghrib and Isha, Fajr, no problem. Look, Allahu Akbar, silent salat, you hear him. Tashahud, you hear it. He's no more silent. At-tahiyyat, salawat, mubarakat. How are you doing that? That is silent salat. Yes, you are right, sisters. Sometimes also the brothers, they like force you to like wait for them. Why should I, you lead or me? I am leading. Allahu Akbar. I'm the pilot. No, it's like, brother, we are still reading our Fatiha. Rasulullah said, Ma'mun follows the Imam, not the other way. Yes, Muhammad, before Sister Shelly.
Yes, it's okay.
How are you?
Fine.
Good to see you. Yalla, Sister Shelly.
Yeah. Just now you performed that nikah. That is Wali Hakim. No? You are Wali Hakim? Like here?
No, I was the Imam.
Yeah, yes, so yes. Here.
I will tell you, Malaysia style, I think we will clear up once and for all. Because our definition of Wali and your definition now is slightly different.
Okay, so what is it?
When somebody marries your daughter, so your daughter needs to be given away by a Wali. And there are criteria of how you become Wali.
Okay.
Most times, it's your father.
Okay.
So if your father, then your father becomes Wali.
Yes.
If your father is not around, maybe it's your
brothers
or your uncle, whatever. I don't know whether this is
same.
Yeah. Okay.
This is same.
So in that context, the Wali is a person who gives away their
daughter
away.
Yes. That's correct. That's what I was saying. No. So far, the Wali who marries the daughter is exactly what I said. I agree.
Okay. First rule,
yes.
Khalas.
Khalas.
Come to the time of Ijab and Kabul.
Ah.
The Wali is there, ready to give away your daughter. Then, it's not the husband that's shivering. It's the Wali that, shivers to give away the daughter away. They said, cannot. The Imam is there, can you become
Qadi?
The Qadi is there, can you become Wali instead? I cannot do it. They said, okay, no problem. So the Qadi
becomes
Wali in that instance.
Yeah.
So what's your question? I'm just giving the situation.
Yeah, because he was the Imam. Here also, Qadi lah, Imam.
Qadi, Imam. What you call Qadi, I was the Imam, yes.
Yeah, so is that Wali the same as if in case later on got problem, he is not?
No.
Yeah.
No, the Imam who married them does not have to be involved. Unless they want him, he is the Imam, they want to talk to him, counseling, no problem. But Islamically, when there is a problem, you go back to the Wali. For example, the husband is upset with his wife, cannot talk to her. He should go to her father. Uncle, please look at mine. And the man should be fair. Listen to him, then listen to his daughter. Not because she is his daughter, she's always right. No, it's not like that.
In that instance, is the marriage okay? I mean,
it's okay.
The father is wrong, the wife is wrong, but he's given...
It's okay. It's okay, no problem. As long as he agrees. Because it's the right of the father to agree. Now, We don't agree with the father, or we don't need the father if he is racist. He's against the marriage just because he's black. He's against the marriage because he's Indian Muslim, mama, or he's a Chinese Muslim. It is this. We say why, brother? Is he not a Muslim? Didn't he come to you? Does he have a job? Is he a bad person? No. Why are you against him? In this case, we say, fear Allah, brother.
So to perform the nikah, you don't need, the wali chain. No.
Any wali.
Okay.
But preferably, that's why we said to the husband. What did we say to the boy in the beginning? In the beginning of the class, what did I say? He goes to who? He goes to family. So when the man knows that this man came first to him, 90% he will agree. 90%. He didn't even go to the girl. He came to him, uncle, I would like to ask her. Wow. But no, when the girl loves someone, plays a drama behind her father's back, when the father knows, he has full right to get angry. Because they didn't do it the right way. That's wrong. Yes? Any brother? Ask, yes?
Should the wali to witness the nikah be a wali hakim?
No. Wali hakim in case of problem? No. Very good. The wali who marries the girl, the woman, to another man, doesn't have to be the hakam later on when they fight. God forbid. And they exhaust the three first steps. Advising. Maw'idah. Still doesn't want to listen. Not sleeping near her. Still doesn't want to listen. Spanking her and hitting her on her hand and her thighs, and still she doesn't want to listen. The hakim doesn't have to be father. Can he be the father? Yes. But doesn't have to be father. Could be somebody else. And preferably somebody not biased, because father biased, he will take the side of his daughter. We want to solve the problem. We want to save the marriage. So what are, for example, the concerns, the legitimate concerns of the boy? The boy says to his hakim. The hakim comes. And then the girl says to her hakim. These people are not biased. Maybe uncles, maybe, you know, friends, wise people, anyone. They will say, look, how can we solve this problem? Then they give their opinions. Then they call the boy and the girl and force them to this treaty.
You mentioned earlier, when you marry, you marry the family.
Yes.
And your wife's mother, your mother-in-law, is like your mother.
Yes.
And you take wudu, your wudu is not near when you live with her.
Yes.
What is the wisdom if something happens to your marriage? Later on, you can still salam your...
Yes, because she became your mom. Sisters. Brothers, the in-laws, they become haram for you forever the moment you marry their daughter. You, the moment you marry a man, his father becomes haram for you. He can never marry you. But you have to consummate the marriage first. If a man wrote the nikah, aqad, but did not consummate the marriage, he never slept with his wife. And then the wife died. Can he marry her mother? Can. Although they aqad nikah, but he never slept with her daughter. Later on, let's say he likes her, she likes him, they want to marry. Which would be a great movie drama, by the way. Number one.
Never happened good to the family.
Allah gave that. Same thing for the other one. The boy was about to marry a girl. And they in nikah, but they never went together in a bedroom. Never happened. Then the boy dies. His father, can he marry? If she accepts, yes.
Yes.
No problem. But the moment they consummate the marriage, she becomes your mother-in-law, even God forbid if your wife dies. You can go have her, sit with her, how are you, mother? Although you buried her daughter.
can I still shake hands? Never renew my wudu. Of course, he's like your mother now.
What's the wisdom? In that.
What is the wisdom?
In that. After forever.
What is the wisdom of not marrying or touching?
The wisdom of being a mother even after.
Because you marry halas. So that, alhamdulillah, so that if he lives with you, she doesn't have to cover from you. If you go visit her, okay, wait, tell Allah to wait until I do, don't look more. No, alhamdulillah, because you are her son.
Yeah.
You married her daughter, khalas. Same thing for your father. She is his daughter now. If he sits with her and hug her and play with her, you have no right to say anything. She is his daughter. Like he's playing with, exactly with his daughter. But after consummating the marriage, not before. Okay, what else? Yes?
What's the minimum age of 15 years?
Minimum age? Takbir! The brother is ready. Takbir! Okay. As soon as the boy becomes baligh and the girl becomes baligh, they can marry. The girl can marry even before the age of puberty. Before she gets her period, she can get married. Differentiate between Sharia and culture. In some cultures, no, you can do this, yeah? Or you can do it. No, the deen doesn't set a date. 100 years old woman can marry. 100 years old man can marry. Don't let now the Orientalists come and teach you morality, because they are the most immoral people on earth. I never take morality from the West. I take technology, I respect them for it, but not akhlaq. We have the best. And our best teacher is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, above 7 heavens, witnessed that the best man on earth in ethics is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why you go take from them? Take from him. Go seek. So, a young woman can marry, but we say better just to, you know, protect the right of a girl so she's quite understanding. But if her father is still there and protecting her, her mother, her uncles, where is the problem? Where is the problem of a young girl of 12 or 13 years getting married? In Turkey, there is a kampung. By 25, everybody is grandma. Serious. I'm not joking. But why? Because everybody at the age of 12 gets married. By 13, you're already a father. By 25, your son is getting married and he's a son. That's why they live long and they're healthy and they help each other. For us, you can let your children do anything except marriage. Because our concept of marriage is very distorted. I was talking about marriage in America, in Houston, right after 9/11. And I was talking about these attacks of, because they start attacking Islam. Right after 9/11, they start attacking Islam. So I chose 20 points of what they attack and answer them one by one. And the audience, huge audience, I remember. One African-American Sister Ramona, may Allah bless her, she raised her hand. She became Muslim in jail. Alhamdulillah. Some of the best Muslims come from jail. She raised her hand and she said, Sheikh, can I say something? I said, go ahead. She took the mic and she said, why are we guys, and there were many non-Muslims there, why are we guys surprised at Islamists? I second what Sheikh said. My own grandmother got married. And she said, I will bring you the marriage certificate signed by a judge of Louisiana at the age of 10. The judge agreed, married. So, your own laws, your own people don't know. You don't even know. And you're attacking Islam for, you know, because they were saying Aisha was very young when the Prophet asked about that. She's my own grandma. My grandma. And she showed me that. She brought it later on. And I really wanted to have a copy. I forgot. forgot to take copy. To show to you, the state of Louisiana, judge so and so, allowing this marriage. So, because by the way, the states are quite different in their laws. Like here, also, some of the state law are different. So even in America, they do that. But the media, when they attack Islam, they want you to. All right. So here we say that at the end, summary, that Islam, my brothers and sisters, is the only institution, marriage is the only institution Islam agrees for a man and woman to be under same ceiling. Simply because that man and that woman were haram for each other. To become halal, it has to be with the agreement of Allah first, His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam second, according to Sunnah, then the parents. Then the parents. That's why I don't encourage any young man or any young woman to marry without the blessing of the parents. Don't do that. And parents have right over you. It's not what you like. Is what I like and my father and mother likes. It's not, I like her, I will die. Die. Still waiting to die. We wash you and throw you in the grave. Don't worry about it. But don't do that because you will suffer. You will really suffer because your father and mother never agreed. So don't go do things behind their back. It's not fair to parents who raised you and this and that. At the end, they are just invited. Like anybody else. Oh my God, what's that? But I blame parents for this. Some parents don't care. It's his life. No. Don't interfere a million times, but... And from day one, you should have told them certain things. He also said that it's the most important contract after belief. After belief. The contract of Iman is between Allah Azza wa Jalla and us, and the contract of marriage is between male and female. Very important. Okay. Three, we talked about certain mistakes that happen in the khutbah, in asking the hand of a girl. Never go straight to her, go through her family, and this and that better. You know, we have seen even the woman when she asked, may Allah be pleased with her, our beloved mother Khadija radiallahu anha, but she was interested in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She didn't go to him. SubhanAllah. Why? So that she does not make him uncomfortable. Because he worked for her. Look at what. And in case he says no, he doesn't break her heart. But when you send it through someone, go ask so-and-so if he wants to marry me. And if he says, sorry sister, I can't. When she goes and tell her, alhamdulillah, at least there is a buffer zone. You stop him somewhere, brother, I would like to marry you. Now he's shot. Malu, rainbow, all the colors. Heart attack, he may die. Then now you killed him. You are criminal, you go to jail. Then or he says, sorry, I cannot. Now, what? You see? Hikmah. All right. He breaks your heart now. Never go straight. Then don't go there. Alhamdulillah, that's why there are parents, there are friends, there are this. So what did Khadija radiallahu anha do when she got interested in Rasulullah? She sent through her best friend, Nafisa. And Nafisa didn't go straight to him. She went to his uncle, Abu Talib, and she said, please, I have something to say, I'm very shy. He said, go ahead. He said, do you know Khadija? He said, then who doesn't know Khadija? The noble woman? He said, she's interested in marrying your nephew. Who? Muhammad. Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah. Let me ask his uncles. Thank you. It's dying?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Wow. Let me ask his uncles. So the uncle went to his uncles first, not to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to Hamza and Abbas. May Allah be pleased with them. They became Sahaba. What do you think? What is it? Then they call him. Son, am I in trouble? Three uncles want to talk to you. About what? About your future. What do you think Khadija is interested in you? Khadija, my boss. He said, yes. He said, what do you think, uncles? They said, okay. He said, okay. The news didn't go straight to Khadija. It went to the channel. Nafisa, tell him, we agree. But everybody was happy. No problem. But no, you are influenced by Bollywood. You want to dance together. You want to cry. You want to do this. Then, father still killed the hero. Oh my God, you're killing me with your movies. Yes. You know, I was fixing my car service. 9 o'clock, TV3, there is drama. 9 o'clock AM, I'm waiting for my car to be serviced. So there is this TV3, I'm watching. Drama. Tinta. There must be tinta. I'm always sad. That's tinta. Tinta makes me sad. What is this? There are no subjects. Tinta, no subject of movies. Heroes. We don't have heroes. I'm sure there are heroes. Should be violence, should be, what is there? A drug, someone shot. What is that? Is that Malaysia? That's not Malaysia. That's what they want Malaysia to be. Malaysia is not cheating. Alhamdulillah. Drugs, da-da. And always the bad guy bald. You see? They catch him in hospital. They take him from the... I always think of you, I don't know why. So my brothers and sisters, may Allah make us always happy. But serious, these issues of nikah, be careful, serious about them. We will move on, inshallah, with this type of series to anticipate future problems and to avoid them. Because the reason why we learn this, so that our children, the mistakes we make, inshallah, our children don't fall in them. And maybe there is a problem coming, I know how to handle it, from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was the so now can a woman propose to a man? Can, but this way. The Khadija way. For your own good sisters. Because a man can say no, sorry. And if he's good, he will say, sorry, sister, I'm not available. Will not shout at you or look at you down or something. Which is very not true, you know. Alhamdulillah, the sister doesn't want to do haram. She wants to marry. But careful. You are not dealing with Sahaba. You are not dealing with a noble man like Abu Talib. Although he was kafir, but he was noble. Huh? And you are not Khadija, and the man you want to marry is not Rasulullah. So, careful. Yes, any one more question?
Sure, what about Sister Hani's question, isn't it, on wali hakim?
I answered. I thought I answered. What did I say? Wali hakim. I said, okay. Sister Zurina, I repeat quickly. I said, well, okay. Please, I'm not talking about wali hakim in your culture. I'm talking about wali hakim in Islam. Quick. Alright, here. Forget your wali hakim. Forget your culture for a while. Okay? Go blank. Bismillah. Go blank. In Islam, for a man to marry a woman, or a man to marry a woman, he needs four things. Number 1, 2, 3, 4. Hijab and qabul. Proposal and acceptance. Number 2, wali. This wali is not the wali hakim. Maybe you call it wali hakim. It's called wali. What's wali? Guardian. Mainly father. Mainly the father. He has that right. Even if he's not Muslim, by the way. Let's say the father is not Muslim. He has full right to give his daughter. Let's say she became Muslim, and can we call him uncle? Can you? Yeah, no problem. He is not against the marriage. Okay. When he is not, when he is against, we don't care about him. We find the wedding or the sister. Then the two witnesses, Muslim witnesses practicing, then dowry. Mahar in Arabic. Okay. This wali is not the same necessarily when there is a fight between husband and wife. Husband and wife don't agree, especially if the woman is rebellious. Let's say she wants to control him. She wants her way, which is very wrong. The man advises her first. He doesn't get it, he doesn't sleep near her. She doesn't get it, he rotates her. Where? On her hand and here. That's it. But with something no more than this. Maybe this much. That's all. Just to tell her, sister, I'm about to end. After that, when she still doesn't go back to her common sense, we say, please bring a wise man. Wise man. And a wise man. From her family, from his family. It could be this one. Then he is called Wali Hakim. The Wali Hakim that you're talking about is the one who gives marriage, right? In the marriage. Oh, that's
nice. Shouldn't our concept of Wali Hakim is not right?
Huh?
Our concept of Wali Hakim is not right.
No, it's not.
Language speak.
No. It doesn't mean it's not right. It means...
it's a linguistic.
It's just your way you call him here.
No, let me give you an example. Mm. See, I said this overseas.
Yes.
I want to get married to a man. My father is far away, my brother is far away. So I can choose a Wali Hakim over there.
Oh, yes. But with the knowledge of your father.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to be a Muslim.
Imam.
You say he doesn't have
no.
To
be. No. Huh? No. I'm saying the father doesn't have to be a Muslim.
You said the parents are both different, Muslim and Catholic.
Huh?
Yeah, father and mother, and then their kids end up Muslim, but the father still have Catholic.
No, this marriage is haram. Oh. It's the other way. The mother has to be Christian, not the father. Oh. Father must be Muslim. Oh. We discussed this last week. Mm. Remember the brother who passed away and his wife couldn't even bury him? Mm. And they're accusing her? Mm. Because he was kafir. Mm. He is non-Muslim. She is a Muslim. And this is the mistake. Never marry non-Muslim. Alhamdulillah, look, for you, it's clear. Allah slams the door in your face.
Overseas, they have so many marriages.
That's wrong. All those marriages are null and void.
They registered?
Islamically, even if you register them in every country, it's haram. It's not registered with Allah. It's zina. No Muslim woman should marry a non-Muslim man. Period. For us, the trial is on us. You are always like, oh, that's Christian. No, I told you, even there are severe conditions and strict conditions about marrying a non-Muslim woman. Non-Muslim woman. Who is the non-Muslim woman that you can marry? Can you bring her from the church and from the synagogue? Maybe. Not from baseball match. Or from a bar and say, well, she, Allah allowed me to. He didn't allow you to that. You're just justifying that. So, when a man is Christian and the woman, that marriage is not important. And we shouldn't marry their children unless they become Muslim and leave them. Mm. So that wali is not, we don't call him wali.
Should you know that in Malaysia, a widow can get married to a man without a wali, she can choose her own wali.
Can. When a married woman can choose her wali. A married woman, divorcee or widow, can choose. But when she is virgin, young, no. She has to have a wali. We choose for her. She has no right to choose. But if she already got married, she can choose someone. She says, please be my wali. Yes, brother? You are waiting for someone? Oh, you're going to use? Okay. We're going to finish in 1 minute. MashaAllah, more questions. What can I do? Thank you.
What if the wali is going to marry the daughter is a Muslim, but it's not a good practice Muslim?
He can. A wali doesn't have to be a very good Muslim. I said he doesn't have even to be a Muslim. But let's say he doesn't object his daughter to marry someone, no problem. We honor him. And I know someone who embraced Islam because of that. I said, where is the father of this girl? He said, Sheikh, he's not Muslim. I said, bring him. So would you like to be? He said, yes, yes. Half an hour after that, he met her. After an hour, he said, you honored me. And I saw my daughter happy. I never saw my daughter happy until she got married. SubhanAllah, he made shahada after that. Half an hour after that.
Witnesses must be
good Muslims. Witnesses must be very good Muslims.
And young.
And young. Takbir. And bold and handsome. Takbir. Last question from my sister. Four months and 10 days. No more before. I mean, not before. She can wait. She cannot say, no, your father just died. I have to wait for 10 years. Actually, she's dying to marry. She's just pretending that. Takbir. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Ya Allah bless everybody here.
Amen.
Especially Sister Hanis.
Amen.
Whom we didn't see for ages. Takbir. Ya Allah, those brothers who are coming all the way from Kajal, may Allah bless them. Sisters who are coming also from far, may Allah bless them. Those who are not married, may Allah make them happy and give them great spouses very soon. Those who are married, may Allah make them happy. They are stuck, what can they do? We should thank Allah on that sake. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. السلام عليكم. Yes, thank you. I am leaving inshallah on Monday, not tomorrow, next Monday to Bangladesh. Anybody would like to give something to the Rohingyas? I just want to remind you, the best people who deserve zakat on earth now are the Rohingyas. So even if from your zakat, you can give inshallah. I have still 1 week to collect before I go, inshallah. Anybody who has something, please put it here if you want.
Is there a class next week? Will you be
there? Will be. There will be class next week, inshallah. Inshallah. Because my flight is early morning, Monday.
Okay.